The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. A little later on the program, Gab Marcotti and Jurgen Klinsmann will be with us to react to that incredible win for Milan against Lazio to keep them top of the table. We'll start in the Premier League, though. Carabao Cup. Manchester United through to the semi-finals after a 2-0 victory over Everton. Here to discuss that, Stevie Nicol, Ian Dark and Frank LaBeouf. Stevie, this momentum that Manchester United have created just continues. They were great today.
Well, they were great for 25 minutes without managing to put the ball in the back of the net.
They won, Mr. Grumpy Pants.
I just told you they were fantastic for 25 minutes. And then Everton all of a sudden woke up and Manchester United dropped. They dropped a little bit. And the second half, quite frankly, was an absolute bore fest until about, the last 10 minutes when the game sort of opened up a little bit. But the best team won, no question. For 25 minutes, they were fantastic without goals. Everton, absolutely nothing to talk about with Everton. They were awful. And Man United go through.
Another positive story around United, Ian.
Yeah, I mean, but the interesting thing is they're through to the semi-final again and they're going to play Manchester City just as they did last year. They lost that semi-final and they lost two other semi-finals last year as well in the FA Cup and, you might remember, the Europa League against Sevilla. So there's a bit of a jinx. That's not the draw they would have wanted. They'd have probably wanted Brentford, with all due respect to them. Brentford are a good team, by the way. Now they're going to take on Spurs in the other game. But I think Stevie's right. It wasn't the greatest of games, especially the second half. First half was okay. But Manchester United deserved to go through. Great goal by Cavani.
Yeah, lovely strike from Cavani, Frank.
It is, and he shows to the world, well, if he can show it again, if you don't know him, that he's a fantastic top scorer, and also a fantastic teammate. He never gives up. We could see he ran backwards, at like 5 minutes before the end of the game, to help the defenders because he lost the ball. I mean, that guy is a total fantastic football player, and I really appreciate the mentality and the finishing of course, of Mr. Cavani. And again, with my friends, I would say that Manchester United deserved to win. Now we have to ask the question about should Bailly could have stayed, on the field, after his smash Richarlison. You have the answer, Dan?
I wasn't really listening to you, Frank. I was thinking I was just going to move on because I thought we kind of covered the whole game. Are we going to get in a debate with this? Stevie, should he have gone?
It was an accident.
It was an accident, right? Frank, there we are. That's
it. It was an accident.
It's an accident.
Okay,
correct.
So you can smash somebody on the field as long as it's an accident. You can even kill him. It's not a problem.
Oh, my goodness. No one does.
It's in football.
Richarlison got himself in between Bailly and Pogba. He put himself in the sandwich.
Yeah, but come on. Richarlison couldn't carry on playing, so you have to wonder, even if it's by accident, it's maybe going too much in the contact. And he's punished by the law of football, the rule of football. When you have to put too much contact in the football, you can be red carded, which is the case. I have nothing against Bailly. And I think maybe he didn't do it on purpose, and I really think he didn't do it on purpose. But right. At the end of the day, another player went out.
Right.
Went out because he's been smashed out.
I do believe.
Oh, it's a Carabao Cup quarter-final. It doesn't matter. Best team won. Move on. Spurs also through to the semi-finals. Ian, I asked this. Let's do Dele Alli. Okay, let's do Dele Alli first. Jose Mourinho saying a player in that position is a player that has to link and create and not create problems for his own team. Mourinho, Stevie, of course, didn't have to say it. Why did he?
I absolutely don't know. unless Dele Alli is getting under his skin at training or in and around the club, because it sounds like he just wants rid of him. And coming out with a statement like that from a coach has got, please get this guy out of here, written all over it. So I've got to assume that Dele Alli's getting up his nose, basically. And of course, when you do that and you actually get a chance on the field and you produce what he did, I mean, I know he hasn't really played a game for a long time, but he wasn't good. And it just makes it easier for Mourinho if he has a problem with him, which I believe he does.
What's going on, Ian?
Well, I think he's become a misfit, to be honest with you, at Tottenham. It's obvious Jose Mourinho doesn't fancy him as a player. He doesn't fit what he's trying to do with the club. And a pretty loud message, not only the quote you just shown, but last Saturday or Sunday when they played Leicester in the league, they can now name 9 substitutes since last week. They didn't name Dele Alli even on the bench. So that's a pretty clear message, isn't it?
Ian, just saying with you, we discussed this on yesterday's show. You take a look at the semi-finalists now. Who needs a trophy more, Spurs or Manchester United?
I would say Manchester United, to be honest. I mean, Spurs has gone since 2008, but Manchester United are expected to win things, and they haven't won a trophy for 3 years. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think, you know, that would keep the Wolves from the door a little bit. To deliver a piece of silverware, the fans love that.
Frank, do you agree?
I do agree. I think Manchester United, with the history, has to win something almost every season. Lots of expectations, and I think it's not at the same level. I mean, Tottenham fans are desperate to win something, and I'm sure, especially the Premier League, but I think they don't have the same pressure, the clubs, and don't have the same pressure than the Manchester United has, I think.
Finally, Frank, did you think that Bailly should have been sent off in the United game?
Well, yeah, we can talk about Cavani as well. So what's going on with Cavani? You know, should he be sent off or not?
Let's just remind you then how things look in the semi-finals of the Carabao Cup. As we mentioned, it will be Manchester United against Manchester City. Meanwhile, the other semi-final, Spurs against Brentford, there to be played. There's only one legged, by the way, this season. They'll be playing the week of January the 4th.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a 24 hours it has been for the city of Milan regarding where they both now stand in the table and the gap that it's been created over the defending champions. Let's not forget Juventus, of course, losing yesterday and also getting 3 points taken off as their game with Napoli will have to be played at some stage next year. What that means is that wins for both Milan and Inter today put them first and second. A nice little gap now being created between them and the chasing pack. Roma move up to third after their win against Cagliari. Sassuolo in fourth. Napoli, meanwhile, dropping points in fifth. Juve down in sixth. Jurgen Klinsmann and Gab Marcotti here to discuss the games. Jurgen, I want to start with you. Milan, 2-0 up, look fine. Then Lazio get it back to 2-2. And in the end, Hernandez, the hero, with a late winner. If Milan are going to win the league, I tell you what, this could be a defining match.
Yeah, I think it showed the spirit of this team right now. They are really fighting for each other. They're believing in each other, and they go all the way until the very end. I think it was an exciting game with Milan clearly the better side the first half an hour. But then Lazio got better into the game. Eventually, they equalized with a beautiful goal from Immobile. And then I think there was a crucial moment when Inzaghi took off Milinkovic-Savic and Immobile, and kind of the the whole game went back towards the Milan side, and they created chances. Rebic had some very good chances the last 10, 15 minutes, and eventually they got the winner through Hernandez. Exciting match. It gives them a huge boost, and I'm very, very happy that at the same time, at least Inter won as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about Inter in a moment, Gab. This was a great game for Milan, and a game they thoroughly deserve to win.
Yeah, I definitely think they thoroughly deserve to win. But again, you see the character. You know, I don't want to bore everybody with the absentees, but they're playing this game without Simon Kjaer at the back. They're playing it without their starting midfield of Bennacer and Frank Kessie, and they're playing it without some guy named Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And they're playing into Lazio side, who've come off a great result, who battle back to 2-2. When you've got all these young players, you know, that's supposedly when their heads drop and whatever, especially when they gave up that absolutely hokey penalty, which Immobile, after missing, later converted. But no, they just keep going and they keep coming. And as Jurgen said, they took advantage of the change to really go and I thought batter them at the end. And they were awarded with that Theo Hernandez goal. And, you know, if that guy isn't one of the world's top five left backs right now, I don't know who is.
Oh, goodness, he's been sensational this season. Gab mentioned the penalty, Jurgen. It was extremely soft, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think the decision was right. I mean, he missed that opportunity in that moment. But I think you got to give Lazio a lot of credit throughout the game. They had a good presence. They were even in most of the time. But I think that substitution in the second half and around minute 70 with taking Milinkovic-Savic off and Immobile off gave them a kind of a signal to AC Milan to go for it again, and they started to create more chances. Could have scored earlier than that goal from Hernandez, but at the end of the day, they really deserved the win, and they're up there on the table of the league, which is very, very exciting for every Milan fan.
Just talk us through how important belief is amongst this squad, amongst title winners, Jurgen. You've been there and you've done that. How does that momentum affect you going forward?
It has a huge, huge part in winning a championship and winning anything. You know, it is the even if they are top class of the obviously athletes, very well paid, they all have the goal to win trophies. But you need a special spirit. You need a special chemistry within the entire group in a team to make things happen. And it seems that Pioli found this recipe. He found a way to kind of get along really well with his players. You can see it when they celebrate a goal. You could see it at the end when they had the winning goal. But over the last months, you could see it that there's something growing at AC Milan that is very powerful. And if they keep believing, if they have this drive, if they have this inner hunger all together, then you can, as Gabriel mentioned, you know, do you add then Zlatan Ibrahimovic to the mix, you add Kjaer to the mix, and the other ones that are still missing right now, then you have a team that can definitely win the championship, the Scudetto.
Over previous seasons, Gab, when we've seen Juve drop points, we've seen those who are chasing title contenders also drop points, almost falling over themselves not to win it. What was striking today, of course, not only the victory for Milan, but Inter as well, winning away against Verona.
Yeah, and we talked about how, you know, maybe with the fact that, you know, they're out of Europe, Antonio Conte has decided to change the way they play in Serie A. This is a team that's sitting a lot deeper, trying to hit on the counter, trying to use those wide spaces ahead of Lautaro, ahead of Hakimi and Lukaku. On this occasion, we even saw him start Perisic, effectively almost like Perisic and Lautaro behind Lukaku. Kind of look in the position that guy Christian Eriksen was supposed to play. And, you know, it worked to a point. Verona, I think, are a really, really good side. And, you know, Inter, again, they had to dig deep to go and get the result. At 2-0, when Verona pulled one back, you know, all of a sudden it looked like they might be at sixes and sevens and concede. They didn't. They get the 3 points. With Inter, though, you're always worried about, you know, how will the off-the-pitch issues affect you. We saw Conte a few days ago start talking about, you know, how he needs to get together with the club and see if they're all on the same page and they match his ambition, which basically means, you know, give me more money to spend on old Premier League players. and we also had the most striking thing as well, which, you know, Marotta coming out and saying, oh, yeah, Christian Eriksen, yeah, no, we're definitely going to sell him because he's not functional to this team. You know, which, again, is another way of saying Conte doesn't know what to do with a guy, so let's cash in on him. And when you put a for sale player on somebody, obviously it's a lot harder to get substantial money back for him, especially when he's also on an enormous contract like Eriksen.
Seven straight league wins, Jürgen, then, for Inter. How impressed have you been with them?
From the points kind of point of view, very impressive. Obviously, seven wins in a row is outstanding. Looking at the individual games, you know, they're still kind of lacking a little bit the excitement in all of that because he's obviously more defensive-minded approach to it. Even today, it was a slow pace. You know, it was Hellas Verona never really challenged them much. Even if they tactically played it the right way, but they never really created any chances to put into problems. At the end of the day, they could have added a third or a fourth goal. But obviously, seven games in a row is great. Obviously, the issues off the field, they need to be addressed and they need to be solved. I think they will be solved. If Giuseppe Marotta says really something like that about Eriksen, then it's a clear message. You know, he's going to solve that in January. They're going to find a team for him if that's what they want. I actually like that approach because it's straightforward. It's honest. You know, sometimes things just don't match. And if it's that the case with Eriksen and Antonio Conte, then go face to face and talk about it and solve it, you know, move on. I think it's normal that players sometimes in certain environments don't feel comfortable, don't feel happy, then address it and move on. I think, you know, they're in a very good position right now, obviously with the fact that Juventus is a little bit behind. It's an exciting season in Serie A, there's no doubt about it, but I think still in the first part of the season, a couple of surprising results will happen in the next couple of weeks. So it keeps us on our toes.
It's great for the neutral, isn't it, Ali? Who wins it? Who's your money on?
Inter. And I don't trust Inter.
Well, so what are you backing up?
But then again, I don't trust anybody else in this league. And it's wide open because you have a lot of teams that are
untrustworthy.
Yeah, they're good teams sometimes, but at times they can look very average. And that allows for all of this nonsense to kind of come about. The Milan story is a great story, but are they really an excellent team? Are they really a fantastic team, outstanding? No, I don't think so. They're working well together, and they've been able to withstand the absence of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, which is absolutely fantastic for them on the moment. As for Juventus, in years past, there was a certainty about Juventus that even when they lost a game or maybe they dropped a point here and there, there was a certainty that this team was going to be there and they were going to run away with this and they were going to win it. That certainty is gone. And it's gone not only from the outside looking in, but I think that certainty is also gone inside Juventus. They themselves don't really trust that they're going to win games every time they step on the field. And you see it on the performances, you see it on the results, you see it on individual performances, and you see it as a group. This team right now is in trouble, and they've been in trouble for a while. Now you're starting to see the results that are trending in the wrong direction, and I'm not sure that they turn it around.
We'll say thank you very much to Gab and to Jürgen before Gab starts shouting about transitional seasons and things at Juve. But you can download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. The latest one will drop on Thursday. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Real Madrid with a 2-0 victory over Granada today. Casemiro and Benzema getting the goals. Sid Lowe is with us. Sid, ever since Real Madrid were absolutely horrific, shocking, or however you want to describe them against Shakhtar, that's six in a row for them now. What's changed?
Well, I think what's changed is you tweeting that this was the worst Real Madrid team you've ever seen. So. I think that was enough.
That was the inspiration.
It's been printed out. It's been printed out and sellotaped onto the wall of the dressing room for everybody to see. Yep. Remember what Dan Thomas said about us. And ever since then, I mean, look, on one level, and we did actually say this. I would like to make this very clear. We did say this at the time that they were building up towards that week when it felt like their season could genuinely end. You know, going away to the Sánchez Pizjuán to play Sevilla, playing Borussia Mönchengladbach in the Champions League, and then playing Atletico Madrid. Had they lost all three games, which at that stage looked very, very plausible, their season would basically be over. They'd be, I think it would have been 12 points behind in La Liga, with Atletico having games in hand, and out of the Champions League in the group stages for the first time ever. And yet, even then, we were saying, yeah, but the chances are they'll get through this week and they'll be fine. And that seemed to be what they needed. That kind of sense of being on edge, that sense of right, okay, there's no way back now. We do this. And there's been a touch of that about Real Madrid for the entire time that Zidane has been manager. That sense that they might not be great week in, week out. They might not be great in those games that maybe don't excite, that maybe don't bring the best out in players, that maybe don't motivate them. But that when they've had to perform, they have so much quality in the team, albeit, as I think you were right to say, this is not as a team with as much quality as in the past, but they have so much quality in the team that they normally respond, and they did so.
And they're a bit more Real Madrid-y now, in the fact that it's a bit more of a swagger, and you get a feeling that there is almost an inevitability that they're going to get the win.
Well, that comes from winning.
Yeah.
That comes from having won six in a row. That's when you get that sense of confidence. But you didn't have that sense of confidence after the Shakhtar game.
No.
It was inevitable that they were going to be in trouble.
Some describe them as the worst Real Madrid team
they've
ever seen.
And those people, who are those people? Where are they now? See, Real Madrid is a team that will continue to come at you. And even when they're not playing well, they're still Real Madrid. And so there's a sense of, okay, yeah, at some point they're going to turn it around. What was surprising is that it was taking so long. Right. What was surprising is that they were looking as average as they were.
Because there were so many bad performances.
Correct. And they were in a row. And you were saying, well, when is the reaction going to come? And so then you started asking, well, is it going to come? And I think what has happened is that Zinedine Zidane has said, you know what? This whole thing about rotating the team, we cannot. We cannot rotate the team because we're not good enough. And so we have our injuries, we have our suspension, we have whatever the case may be. I have a team that I'm going to settle on, and that's going to be my starting 11, and I'm going to trust this guy. So I'll make a change here and there, but I will not make structural changes to the group, and I'm going to ride these guys for as long as I can and until we get on a nice path of winning games. Once we do that, maybe we'll consider rotating players in and out. But he has found a nice rotation. He has found, in terms of what he wants on the field, and he has found in Karim Benzema the continued answer as to who the guy is going to be in the final third who's going to win games for you. He's that guy and will continue to be that guy. If he gets injured, then you may go back to that conversation that you had before.
Real Madrid then back to level on points with Atletico Madrid, who, though, do have two games in hand. They were rocked by the news today that the English FA has suspended Kieran Trippier for 10 weeks for breaking betting regulations. And it's not just an English ban, it's for the whole of the world, which obviously means that he can't play for Atleti during those 10 weeks, including their Champions League match. Sid, am I right in thinking, tell me if I'm wrong here, basically Trippier told some mates that he looked like he was going to move to Madrid. His mates put the bet on, and that's where he broke the rules. This seems incredibly harsh.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm very cautious about this because I want to see what's in the written report. I want to see what exactly it is that the English FA are accusing him of. But this is the version of the story that we have been led to believe over the last months, because this has been going on for a very long time. And if that is the case, then to be honest with you, I completely agree. It seems bizarre to be in a situation in which if you are changing jobs, changing country, moving house, what, you don't tell your friends? And then if your friends are foolish enough or maybe just didn't think about it enough to put a bet on. I don't really see how that's his fault. I don't particularly see how that affects the integrity of the game. I think the only victims of this are the bookmakers themselves, which doesn't necessarily mean that it's fine, but I don't think it's about that, you know, about the results or about whether or not football itself is clean. I think there is an implicit hypocrisy in how close football's relationship is with bookmakers, and then this kind of approach to gambling regulations. Now, it's true that the gambling regulation is there and the players know about it, but as I say, I think we have to see what's in the written report. But on the face of it, at least, I'm with you on this, in that this just seems, it seems very, very overblown to me. It seems a very, very significant step for essentially telling friends that you might be leaving the country, which it seems to me to be a very normal thing to do. I mean, you'd be pretty surprised, Dan, I think, if tomorrow it just suddenly turned out that I was living in Paris.
Oh, I think your wife would be more surprised. I mean, Claire and the rabbit and the dog would be a bit more surprised. And Trippier, of course, has been so key to Atleti this season. Didn't you tweet out that he's played every single minute of the Champions League and La Liga?
Yeah. He had a difficult start to the season, but he's played really, really well for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And of course, one of the reasons why he was playing even after that difficult start was because they don't actually have a natural replacement for him. They don't have someone with whom they can rotate him. And so essentially, Atletico Madrid are now in a position where basically the only player who doesn't have a replacement, although Vasilico is now coming back to fitness, is the player who will be out for a while. Now, Atletico Madrid's position, at least this afternoon, now I'm not sure if this has shifted in the last 3 or 4 hours, was that while they'd seen the statement, while they'd seen the news reports, they hadn't formally been told anything yet. And so, of course, at that point, they said, well, we can't really respond to this until we know exactly what we're being told, until we know exactly the implications both for Trippier and for the club. And then at that point, of course, they can then make a decision. Now, that decision could involve some sort of appeal against this. That decision could involve saying, well, actually, we'd like to take this to a higher authority. But there is no decision made on what their course of action is, because they're saying, well, we need to see this first, and we need to see it in a formal sense. It's not enough just to have read this, because, of course, it's formal insofar as the FA have announced it. We need to have this addressed to us and know in what position we find ourselves before we move on. And as I say, I too am in that position. I'm not important, but I'm in that position in terms of a judgment or a sense of how fair this is, because we need to know exactly what it is he's been accused of doing.
Yeah, and that's important to stress, that obviously until the report is published, it's all speculation at the moment. But if it is the case that he told some mates he was going and they put bets on, 10 weeks, Ali, seems incredibly excessive.
Look, pardon my gambling ignorance, which is plenty, I must admit. You can gamble on somebody's transfer?
Yes.
And yep. And how, to the point that Sid is making, right, that you are in communication with your friends. Hey, guys, I won't be here tomorrow, but I can't tell you where I'm going, so I'll see you when I see you. It's nonsense. It really is nonsense. And how can you draw the connection between you telling some friends and then they go and make their own decision? How does that then go back to you? Is this some sort of insider trading that we're going with here? Is this how we are in some way trying to make sense of it all? It feels like a lot. It feels like it's just too much punishment. And I think the connection is very tenuous between Kieran Trippier, his move to Atletico Madrid, and then some friends going and betting on it. Maybe you should address the fact that you can actually bet on this to begin with. And who are the degenerates that are betting on this?
That's a key point. Ali, that's a key point. I really do think that's a key point. Look, first of all, we're talking about a bet that's not about the integrity of the sport, in the sense that this isn't match fixing. This isn't a player saying, tell you what, for a certain amount of money, I'll go and score an own goal or whatever it may be. It does not affect the outcome of the game at all. It affects only the bookmakers. And so, as you say, if this is something that you think is open to abuse, and if this is problematic, don't have this market. Don't have this market. And that's the end of it.
I heard, though, Sid Lowe might be going to work for L'Equipe. Oh, so I think that's the bet.
Where do I place a bet?
To Paris. Thank you very much, boys. Just a reminder, we are with you every single day throughout the holidays. Whether you or we like it, we will be with you. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd-Pye, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC. Plenty of action in Ligue 1 today. PSG impressive in their 4-0 victory over Strasbourg, ending 2020 very much on a high. Look who's here. Julien Laurent and Frank Leboeuf is back.
Hey.
Frank, I can't believe they brought you back to talk about PSG Strasbourg, a game that you've already admitted you didn't see. So let's start with Jules, shall we?
That's unbelievable.
A good win for your boys, Jules.
It was good. I mean, I think the result doesn't really reflect the way the game went, because for a long period of time, PSG were not very good. They lacked a lot of cutting edge. They lacked a lot of creativity, apart from Rafinha, who was really the only bright spot. They scored four because Strasbourg, especially towards the end, made some big mistakes defensively. But other than that, it was quite similar to what we've seen so far this season, which is at times quite difficult in the creativity sense of things for PSG. But in the end, the win is there. It's the most important. And they finish the year, well, at least before Christmas, on a high.
Frank, is there any chance that PSG won't win the league?
It's possible, because Lyon is doing great and they don't have a European campaign. But I still believe Paris Saint-Germain is only 1 point behind Lyon and Lille. And they had so many problems, injuries, you know, COVID, of course, like no other team in France. That I still believe that PSG will be champion. I mean, they had today 10 players injured. Can you imagine? And, well, Strasbourg didn't do anything. They had no ambitions whatsoever. But they still do the job, win 4-0, are third, 1 point ahead of Lille and Lyon, and plenty of chances to win it again. So, yeah, no, I think they're still the contender.
How's Thomas Tuchel, Jules?
He was quite confident after the game about winning the title. He said, "I'm still confident we can do it." However, before he gave an interview to Sports One in Germany, where he was he looked frustrated about everything in Paris, saying that it's difficult to manage there. It's club very different to anything else. He just wants to be a manager, but there's a lot of influences in Paris. There's a lot of things that go beyond football when he just wants to be a coach. So already you've got that sense that he knows that he might not even be there in January. He certainly won't be there next season. And I don't know, there was a sense of tiredness, I thought, in what he said to German television, that I thought was a bit disappointing. It's been a long season and a long first half of the season for him as well, with, like Frank said, with a lot of problems, a lot of issues, him and Leonardo, with the dressing room, the injuries, COVID, etc. And he doesn't feel there's the recognition that he deserves after the Champions League final and everything that he's done at the club for the last 18 months.
What strikes you when you hear that, Frank?
I'm not sure I understood the question. I'm sorry.
What do you think when you hear Tuchel coming out and saying those sort of things?
Well, the thing is, I can understand him. It's always been the problem in Paris. We really wonder if there is a hierarchy inside the club. I know Paris. I live in Paris, and I know it's a fantastic city, but it's also a strange city where people seem to have a word of everything, and also you have the world of the show business. So it's hard to be very focused when you are very focused when you're a player on your football and on your career, and you can be entertained very easily. But I can understand him in the same way where you know every week we talk to him about some problem that the club has, that some players went to do something, and talking not about really only football, and it can be tiring for a coach. And I think that's the word. I will be, if one day, you know, the club asked me to be the coach, I will be, yes, but will I be in command? Can I be in command? I'm not sure I will have the answer.
As you mentioned, PSG currently third, Frank, with Lille and Lyon both winning today. For Lille, Jules, we saw Tim Weah score once again. That's three goals in his last five matches for the US international.
He's in great form. It's good to see him start as well because, for example, I mean, earlier in the season, he was more of an impact sub, impact player coming off the bench. There's a lot of competition in his position if you look at all the strikers and forwards that they have available. You know, Bamba and Ikone and Yazici and Burak Yilmaz, Jonathan David. There's so many there. There's so many options for Christophe Galtier. And yet, lately, really, we've seen Tim Weah coming really strong. We saw him against Celtic where he scored a really lovely goal. We saw him against Dijon as well. Great goal tonight in a big game against Montpellier. Tough game away from home when there was a lot of stake for Lille because they could have been winning the champion. In the end, they're still second, but he came good. He's still very young. Let's not forget, he had a horrendous year last year with that big injury. He's only coming back from that, working really hard. So it's good to see him at that kind of level.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. Frank gives us a lesson in humility on Extra Time today. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel. That is it. Ali, you're on holiday, yes?
Oh, well. Yes, I am.
Have a lovely holiday.
Thank you.
However, stay tuned because Extra Time is next. The last thing we need to do is answer some tweets. Ian and Frank back with us as well. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Ali Moreno with me in the studio. We've also got Frank LaBeouf and Ian Dart with us for the first time this week. The first time he's been with us since he sent out this tweet. Palace away is a very tough match for Liverpool, especially coming off a hard midweek game. They don't look the same team on the road this season. Only one away win. Could it be a 1-1 draw with Spurs game the same sell?
What?
How'd that work out, Ian?
Well, do you know what? I think for 2 minutes, my prediction was spot on. I was only six goals out.
Who is the likely of the two to finish in the top four this season, Ian? Everton or Leicester City?
Oh, Leicester City. I think they're the better side, and they're going well again this season. I think they're a bit stronger than last year when they kind of blew their chance of finishing in the top four. This time, like the look of them.
Ali, what do you think about the biggest clubs hiring former players as their managers without any experience and learning on the job? Isn't the incoming Xavi at Barcelona another gamble a la Pirlo? Slightly different because he's been coaching.
Yeah, Xavi has actually been coaching as a professional. It was indeed a gamble to bring in Pirlo. However, and this is what Gab Marcotti keeps telling us, that, well, he's just bringing new ideas.
He wrote a thesis.
Yes, wrote
very
a thesis.
And then,
see, all those things are all fine and well, but then he gets to the point in which you have to convince the players to do the things that you're asking them to do. Now, a player like Pirlo has a lot of equity with players because he is Pirlo. So they'll hear him and they'll listen to him initially. But it gets to the point to where you go, okay, whatever we're doing is not working. And you end up going back to things that worked for you in the past. And when you have that, where the coach is telling you to do one thing, but you want to do the things that have made you successful in the past, that's when you have a problem, and that's when issues start showing up on the field.
Ian, it's such a lottery, isn't it? Because you can point to Zinedine Zidane and the massive success that he's had, and then you can point to maybe someone like Alan Shearer, of course, who coached Newcastle. And it really seems a mixed bag.
Yeah, absolutely. Frank Lampard's come in and done pretty well, hasn't he? Yeah. He had a year at Derby and then straight into the Premier League with Chelsea, and so far so good with that. And Steven Gerrard at Rangers is making a success of that job. You'd think somewhere down the line he might get the Liverpool job, maybe with a Premier League assignment somewhere in between. So you never quite know who's going to be the right fit, who can make the change quickly. Some guys can be great players and never cut it at all as coaches.
Because, Frank, you've said in the past you look at Zidane and it didn't strike you as a natural leader, a natural coach.
That's true. He changed, I think, within the 2 years before heading the Real Madrid team. He changed his way of talking, of managing and everything. And he really bluffed me in a way. And I never thought he would be the manager that he has been. And what he does is absolutely fantastic. But you know, going back to that question, it can be a fairy tale to get a former player becoming a manager. The problem with that is when it doesn't work, you have to get rid of him. And it's like getting the prince out of the castle in that fairy tale. And that's the main problem. It happened to Thierry Henry after 3 months in Monaco. It was a nightmare. And for those who love those players, they don't want to say, okay, sorry, it doesn't work, you have to go. It's difficult to do.
Here's the thing, it's not a perfect science. And whether it's a great player, former great player or not, you can have a guy who has done all the work to prepare himself for this very moment of being a manager, and he can put together the best PowerPoint presentation, and you're so impressed by him, meeting him, and then you put him out on the training field, and he just doesn't work. The players do not gravitate towards him, do not get the message, and are not able to execute the ideas. So you can do all the preparation you want, but I think what's key is, can you get the players to buy into what you're selling? And that, as simple as it may be, that is the key between anything and everything. If you get the players to buy in, then you're fine. If you don't, then you're on your way out.
Frank, you said that Zidane blocked you. Did you mean that he shocked you? He didn't literally block you on WhatsApp?
Bluffed you.
Oh, bluffed. He bluffed. He bluffed. Sorry, he bluffed me.
See.
Yeah, but you know what?
If you rang him, would he answer the phone, Frank?
I don't know. I never tried. I was just a simple player. I don't even know if he remembers me.
Please.
How can you not remember Frank LaBeouf?
Come on,
out loud.
The beef. Hey? Come on.
Frank, let's talk a bit of Chelsea, shall we? Seeing how much Thiago Silva's leadership has benefited Chelsea this season, who was the best leader that you played with or played for?
Well, definitely, I think Dennis Wise was a real leader, a fighter, a warrior. And we all, coming from other countries, we all followed him. And he was a fantastic captain. Otherwise, I was pretty much, with all humility, the leader of the team that I played for.
Yes, I love it when Frank starts a sentence.
I didn't have to follow anybody. Yeah, well, I have to add that because otherwise you're gonna run into it. I know you.
We went from he was a simple player and Zidane is not gonna answer his phone calls to, look, with all humility, I am the leader.
I was the boss. Mm-hmm. I was the jefe.
You want to talk to somebody, you talk to me. You go through me first. Oh my goodness.
What about you, Ali?
Well, I would go to players that I played against rather than players that I played with. There were magnificent players in Venezuela people would not be very familiar with. Jose Manuel Rey in Venezuela was a great captain for many years with the national team. But in terms of players that I played against, Diego Lugano with Uruguay, there was something about him that being leader of that team, just he's embodied everything that Uruguay was about and that tenacity and the aggressiveness and the physical nature of the way that they played. And then the ultimate leader, in thinking of some of the players that I played against in South America, Javier Zanetti for Argentina, the guy walking on the field with a captain arms band, you just looked at him and you go, that's different level. Yeah. That's at a different, entirely different level. Same thing with Cafu. He walks on the field and there's a presence
like
about
Frank
him.
Like Frank LaBeouf.
Well, of course, you talk to me. You want to talk to anybody, you talk to me. I'm the leader of this team, this guy.
With humility, Ali, is Suarez better than you at diving?
Couldn't it? That's a good question.
Did you complain as much as he does?
No, I did not. I knew I was trying to draw fouls, so therefore, if I got the calls, yes. If not, I tried to sell it as much as I could. No, I don't think he was better than me at drawing fouls. He was better than me in everything else, but in that particular aspect of the game, I must say, with all humility, I was pretty damn good.
Isn't Ruben Dias, Ian, one of the best summer signings in the Premier League? He's having the same impact Van Dijk had on Liverpool when he came, but no one's talking about him.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I always thought he was a good player at Benfica and for Portugal. And yeah, I think he's proving a super signing. Manchester City have the best defensive record in the Premier League. I think they've let in 2 goals in their last 9 matches in all competitions. And I think I'm right in saying that Dias has played in every one of those. And of course, he's been helped by a big return to form by John Stones alongside him, to the point where Laporte, I think he's probably not going to be in the Premier League side at the moment, but Dias, yeah, he's looked rock solid.
Ian, as a pioneer in commentating, what is your best Boxing Day memory?
I wouldn't call myself a pioneer. I'll tell you what my best Boxing Day memory is, and it's before I became a commentator, but I was alive then. Way back when, and the two guys on the program and yourself, Dan, are too young to remember this, but the teams used to play on Christmas Day and Boxing Day, they'd have a return against the same team. Wow. Or there'd be 2 fixtures between 2 teams over the Christmas period. And there were some extraordinary things happen. So I'm going to take you back to 1963, wow, where Fulham beat, I think it was Ipswich, 10-0 at home one day, played them 2 days later at Portman Road and lost 4-2. On the same program of games, West Ham lost 8-2 at home to Blackburn Rovers, went up to Blackburn and beat them 4-1. So I think the players were having some very nice drinks on the trains to the games in those days.
Frank, did you like playing on Boxing Day? Don't tell us the boring Southampton story again.
Well, not really. I never liked playing around noon a football game. I think it's too early. But when you sign for a club and you sign for a championship, you agree with the tradition, and it's what it is with in England. So you don't want to complain. You try your best. But it's not now. It's not the hours and I like Christmas, I like New Year's Eve, and I couldn't celebrate it for like 5 years, so yeah, I didn't like it. Mm.
Final question. What was the worst hairdryer treatment, Ali, you ever got from a manager and coach, and why did you get it? Did you have a coach that shouted at you?
Not really.
That sort of way.
But I tell you, the worst thing was when you had a coach that had some bad breath. Huh? Or coffee breath. Or the old bad coffee breath.
Right, yeah.
So when you were called into the office for whatever the reason may have been, I tended to kind of stay.
Yeah, that always reminds me of teachers.
Yes, just at a safe distance. Yeah, socially responsible.
Did you see people get shouted at?
I did. And in fact, we had just been beaten by Brazil 4-0 at home. And our captain at the time, Juan Arango, was complaining about some of our travel conditions and travel setup and this and that and the other. Maybe the fact that we were sitting on a tarmac for 4 hours waiting for a plane when Brazil came, celebrated and left, and we were still there. He was complaining and whining about this, sort of quietly, but complaining nonetheless.
Right.
And our manager at the time, Cesar Faria, said to him, in a team meeting,
yeah,
ahead of playing against Ecuador, another World Cup qualifier, said, if you don't want to be here, yelling, of course, in Spanish, yeah, if you don't want to be here, yeah, you can leave right now. And I'm in the back of the room thinking, actually,
we
need him to stay because we need to win this game. So maybe we don't want to yell too loud to this guy. We just, hey, Juan, don't listen to him. You stay over here, buddy.
And did he stay?
Oh, he stayed and he scored. But you know who scored the game winner in that game? With humility. This guy!
Hey, back to Panarango. He scored some great goals.
Yes, he did. And that was a great goal in that game, too.
Yeah. Frank, did you ever get shouted at?
Yes. In fact, you know, you sent me a video about a game in Newcastle that was completely off, dreadful.
Yeah, when
I made two mistakes and we lost 2-1. I think Craig Burley scored a goal and we lost 2-1 at St. James's Park. And the day before, I asked for a day off for the week after with Gianluca Vialli and Gianfranco Zola to go somewhere, I don't remember. And he said, okay, we see the game, how it works tomorrow. And when we came back after the game, after my two mistakes, he yelled at me, say, you know, Frenchie, you can say whatever you want. You can cry, you know, the amount of time you want. You will never go and you will never have that day off. It is, wow. You know what I mean? The big guy, Ruud Gullit, was very, very angry at me.
And then how did you react?
Well, you accept that, you shut up. You know, especially I was dreadful, I was horrible. So what do you want to do? You put your head down and you accept and you want to show the week after that you still can be quite good and not ugly like you've just been.
I think I'd just cry. what was the worst that you saw a teammate receive, Frank?
I don't know. Nothing I can recall. Maybe something happened that I've seen. Maybe young players, managers, you know, yelling at young players because they lost their temper and everything. And I had the tendency to defend them as something because with big humility, I was mostly the captain of my team. So I tried to help the youth, you know, against the coach if it was too hot, with lots of humility.
Yeah, exactly. Ian, we saw, obviously, Fergie not only unleash hairdryer on players, but on journalists as well. Have you ever been shouted at by a coach?
I've been shouted at by Sir Alex Ferguson before he was Sir Alex as well in the tunnel at Leeds one day. It wasn't my fault. The TV channel I was working for at the time had run a piece called Cantona's Crimes throughout the day. So he walked in and he saw me wearing the emblem of the TV channel and shouted at me. I won't use the language. I'm going to have to cut out a few words. He said, "Get out of my sight. I won't be talking to you tonight or ever again." And I thought, what was that about? And it was about some piece that had been on the TV on the channel I didn't even know about. All about Cantona's red cards. But yeah, I mean, Alex was famous for chewing out the journalists, particularly on his Friday press conferences before games, to the point where quite a few of them were banned. And one of them, one of the Friday press conferences, put up his arm and said, "Am I allowed to ask a question today, Alex, or am I banned?"
Mark Ogden.
Dan
was banned. Yeah.
Dan, do I have the time for like a minute to explain to you, to tell you a nice story about Sir Alex Ferguson and myself?
Oh, it's like Pele. You said you were great, and you went, "Oh, thank you."
Nothing about it. I was in Monte Carlo, and I was playing blackjack for like an hour, seated at the table, and suddenly the guy, I don't know how you call the guy, the croupier, and we say in France, the dealer, thank you, told me, you know, "Well, I'm very pleased that I can see you, both of you." And I said, "Why are you saying both of me, both of us, you know, who?" And I turned my head and Sir Alex Ferguson was seated next to me for like an hour. I didn't see him and he didn't see me because we are so much focused on the game. And he was with his wife and we had a fantastic evening. And I was just thinking about that with Sir Alex Ferguson. It was a very nice evening with Mr. Sir Alex Ferguson.
Nice. Did you win?
Yes, I did win.
Of course you won.
With humility.
With humility.
Of course, you know, I put everything I put all the money with humility. Yeah. Blackjack. Of course.
That's the key. We're all going to Vegas with Frank.
What else? What else?
With humility.
That's it. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. Just a reminder, we are here every day throughout the holiday period. Huh? There's no letting up. After these beautiful plants, be sure to join us for the next edition of the show.